Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Good to have each one of you today. Praise the Lord.
What? Communion today.
Oh, communion today. Yes, I know that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have you today. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness gracious. What an awesome week, I think. I didn't realize that maybe I made an impact on the young boys this week. I don't know. Oh, goodness. We all did work hard, I will have to say, you know, and pouring the concrete slab. Like Dave said, you know, pastor never pours a concrete slab unless it's triple digits. You know, he wants to get over 100 before we pour concrete. And so, but that's, we did, you know, from 7 o'clock till 9:30, we poured 51 yards of concrete, and then we polished it and everything by about 12:30, and then we started taking the forms off of it, and we had that pretty well done by about 3:30, and by that time it was time to take a break, you know. So it was 100 plus degrees, no doubt. So I sent Dave and all them home, and before we got home, Jeff told me, he said, Pastor, I watched you work. He said, I've heard you say so many times, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. He said, you literally own that verse. You know, he said, for your age, and he said, to work like you did out there, he said, it's absolutely amazing to think that in the heat of the day, when a lot of old men that are 50 and 60 years old men, you know, are sitting in the shade, here you are 73 years old, and you're out there working as hard as any of us and doing as much as any of us, and it doesn't appear to get tired, just kept on going. Well, I guess if the King said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, I guess that's what he meant, huh, Betty? And so I praise God that I do own a few of those verses, but I wished I owned them all, you know, and I'm going to work on getting there with all of them. But we started out this last week with a problem, like I've been trying to tell y'all. How many of you know that I've been trying to tell you, you need a standby generator? Some of y'all heard me say that, haven't you? And some of you are thinking about it, and some of you are not going to have any problem. So, yeah, well, you know, Thurman, he don't know what he's talking about. I don't need a standby generator. How would you have felt if you were in India last week? India was sweltering hot, just like it is here. And there's about 320 million people in America, about 320 million. And in India, 670 million people were without power. That's twice the number of people there are in the entire United States of America. Now, what kind of an impact do you think it would happen if all 320 million of us, if they turned the power grid off just for 3 days? How do you think that would affect you? Just 3 days. Well, some of you would start looking for Jesus. Some of you that never had any problem, that never even called on the name of Jesus, probably by the end of the third day. And then if the power comes back on, you think, oh, everything is great, and you got it on one day, and it's off again for two or three more days. How would you think that would affect us? Well, who do you think is causing all these problems? God is causing all these problems because we're not serving Him, and I will show you that from the Scripture today. And of course, you know, it didn't affect me. You know, I mean, I have power where I am, although we are working hard, pouring concrete and all this stuff, you know, but we have power. And we have water, and we have everything, and we wash up all of our tools, and everything appears to be going good. After we get through with the concrete, I thought, well, Cheryl and I sitting out there in front of our little travel trailer, resting in the shade of a big oak tree, and you know, it feels really good to sit in the shade of an oak tree after you've worked like that all day. And I thought, wow, so that old oak tree looked like it's kind of thirsty, so we got the soaker hose out and I spread it all around the tree and turned the pump on and let it run all the rest of the day until that night. And then I went in to take a shower about 9 o'clock, and I thought, I'm tired, I'm gonna go to bed. You know, I got up at 5:30 this morning, you know, we started early. And I go in and we don't have any water. The water won't run in the house. And I think, now wait a minute, what's wrong here? So I go out there and I start checking and checking and go to the well. There ain't no water. I thought, uh-oh. Now the people in India didn't have any electricity. But if I had no electricity, I wouldn't have no water either. I'd have a compound problem, because when you don't have electricity, last time I checked, you pump water with electrical pumps. Is that right? Most of the time, that's true. So I didn't have any. So I thought about it there. I'm out in the dark, you know, with my flashlight trying to figure out why I don't have water. And I thought, well, that's strange. Dug a new well a few years ago, you know, cost a lot of money to put that well in. And it's deep, but there ain't no water. And so I thought, well, I'll turn it off. And first I checked, had a little electrical problem. I found it and got it fixed. But that didn't solve my problem. The pump still wouldn't run, or it didn't appear to be pumping. So, of course, the first thing you should do always is what?
Pray,
that's right, that's the first. Is that the first thing we always do? Not always, is it? You know, sometimes we work and struggle for an hour, two or three, and then we think, oh, it's time to pray. You know, I mean, y'all are just like me. I know that's the way you do it sometimes. And so we finally, of course, did pray, and then we found out that we had electricity and everything, but there didn't appear to be any water in the ground. You know, it wasn't pumping water. It surged a little and then it went off. So I thought, surely that well couldn't have pulled the water table down below the pump and it's sitting there running, not producing any water. But I thought, okay, it's already 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I'm already tired since 5:30 this morning. And of course, you know, I didn't sweat all day, you know, so I'm not no problem. You know, probably 5 gallons is all I sweated, I imagine. I know that 10 men, Cheryl, carried 4 cases of bottles of water to 10 men, and we drank every one of them. 24 to the case, 24 drinks to a case, and that's water. We drank 4 cases of water that one day. And so I think, okay, well, I just told her, I said, honey, you're just going to have to grin and bear it. I'm just going to have to go to bed tonight with no shower. There's no water. Now, what do you do when there's no water? Well, you ain't even got enough to spit bath, you know. You don't have no spit. You're so dry, you can't even take a spit bath. So I just went to bed. And, of course, Cheryl did, too. And I will have to say one thing. She slept on her side, and I slept on mine. No problem, you know. But I did sleep pretty good. And the next morning, early, about 7 o'clock, 6:30, what it was, I got up and went out there and turned the pump on. And it just picked right up. And filled the tank back up, you know, everything. I had water, and I thought, uh-oh, that's not a good sign. What happened? Well, first of all, the water table, it had in watering that tree all day, had pulled the water table down faster than water could run back in. And so when it went down below the pump, it's sitting there not pumping. And so overnight, it filled back up so that it replenished it the next morning. But I'm thinking now, okay, I have heard that we had a drought last summer. Anybody hear that we had a drought here last summer? And that everybody was trying to get you to conserve water? Well, you know, we have our own well out here that I dug 30 years ago, and I dug it deep and put a nice pump in it and cased it and everything. Did everything myself besides dig the hole. I didn't dig the hole, but I did everything else. I have never been short of water. I've always had plenty. So, you know, we don't try to conserve water. I really never even tell people here that work with me, try to conserve water. Because I just don't think about that. I've got a beautiful well. You know, we fill the swimming pool up, you know, and everything. And we got water. But last summer, people couldn't water the yards, couldn't wash their cars. You know, did we have this problem last year? Did all the lakes go down, some of them 20, 25, 30 feet below levels? And so they're saying, don't use no water. And so you drive across one of the lakes or fly across some of them, and man, where it used to be water, it's ground, it's dirt. And you think, wow, well, what happened this last winter? It rained. We were fortunate, but some of us were praying. Do y'all remember how often we prayed for rain?
Yeah.
You know, we prayed and asked God to send us rain. And did He send us rain?
Yeah.
I mean, did the lakes all fill back up?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them even run around. And probably what did we do? Oh, well, it was just a coincidence that it rained. I mean, most people are not out here saying, every time we come to rain, all of us run outside and say, thank you, Jesus, for the rain. Because we knew he was answering our prayers. Is that right, Ro? Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the rain. You're watering the flowers and everything. And, you know, then we, so all the lakes fill back up. Now then we have a real good deal now with all the lakes full of water. And all of a sudden, we're hearing now that the Dallas area is in a moderate drought. Only moderate, you know, not too terribly bad. But just 50 miles west of here, they're in an extreme drought. Well, after coming home and having the problem with the water, I began to look to see where the water tables that's coming from out west and from Colorado and all out in West Texas, the Colorado River and everything, which is coming down into the Biloxi levels and those different stratas of sand that are coming way hundreds of feet deep here, that's coming across here, I begin to notice, in one of the places, some of you may have never heard of the little town of Robert Lee. You ever heard of that little town? Little Robert Lee is a small town. It's not by no means a big town, but the Colorado River runs right through it. And I don't even know what the population of Robert Lee is, but it's not big by no means. But the Colorado River runs right through it. So many years ago, they went out there and they dammed up the Colorado River at Robert Lee. When they dammed up the river, it backed water up in those mountains in there, and it built a reservoir that was 100 feet deep of water. 100 foot. That's a lot of water. You know that? A reservoir 100 foot deep. Well, do you know right now, the little city of Robert Lee, that reservoir is empty. That reservoir is empty. Robert Lee, the whole town, if they hadn't have got a pipeline built from another city, it's about 12 miles away, over there to them, Robert Lee would have had to shut down everything, no water. And most of us don't even know this. We don't know what's going on. But in our country, right now, the state of Texas is only one of many states that's in an extreme drought. Okay, today here, we're still in a fortunate enough place that we got enough lakes around here that's producing enough water so that all of us right now don't have to worry. You go home and turn on the faucet and expect the water to run. I mean, I'm just as spoiled as you are. And you never think about conserving energy. Most people never think about it. I mean, just like I said the other day, how many times I see the girls here, you know, I know what happens everywhere. They go over, they open their refrigerator door, they get one or two things out, carry them over and put them on the cabinet, and then stand there and talk a minute or two or three, and then they go back over, oh, I want this out too, and they get, and all the time the door's standing wide open on the refrigerator. Now, I know none of you girls ever done that, have you? Everybody does that. You know, we don't realize what it means to conserve or save energy. So we don't realize that when we open that door, all the cold air in the refrigerator goes swooping right out the bottom into the house. And now then when you do close that door, it's got to replenish all of that, doesn't it? So it runs, and it runs, and it runs until it comes back down to temperature, and then it shuts off. Well, if you happen to be one of the people, which got me started on all this stuff that God's judging us, just a few weeks ago, Dave and I went to Baltimore to deliver an airplane, and the Monday morning when we left, just before we left on Friday, they had one of the biggest storms up there out of the middle of nowhere, and there was 4.5 million people out of power for 2 weeks in Maryland, Baltimore, all that. We got there just in the middle, at the end of that. I mean, the pastor, we stayed in his home while we were there. A big tree in his backyard fell into the street and blocked the street. If it had went this way, it fell across his house. But obviously, he was walking with God. And so the tree, instead of falling on his house, fell this way and fell into the street. He didn't even know there was a storm. All of his neighbors were up, and he just couldn't believe. You know, and he got up the next morning, there's chaos everywhere. Trees blowed down everywhere. He didn't even know it. Didn't even hear it. He just slept right through it. But I come back and told everybody, I said, you know, there was dumpsters up and down the streets, those big 40-yard dumpsters full of frozen things that had been frozen. There was no telling how many tens of thousands of dollars worth of meat and food had been frozen when everybody's out of power for a couple of weeks. Seriously? You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You either cook what you can or you throw it away because it's spoiled, right? You can't keep ice cream, you know. So, I mean, when it gets up to 80 or 90 degrees, I mean, what you can't eat, you might as well just throw it away. It's gone, you know, because it's going to turn into milk and it's going to run down the drain. But, you know, I really think God is trying to show us that we are not worshiping Him and praising Him enough. And I look at what I see in the scriptures, and of course, when I see what He showed me, as Cheryl, of course, she didn't understand all this. So when I lay there in the bed the other night, she's asking me a million questions. Well, but that's a new well. I said, honey, don't make any difference how new it is when there ain't no water in the hole. You know, you can't pump the water out. Well, why is there no water there? I said, because the water table. She didn't understand that water table and how it comes through the stratas of sand. And how you dig down and penetrate those things, and then you pierce the pipe at certain places and little slots, and it water runs into the pipe, and then it runs down and builds up, and then when the pump comes on, it's got water to pump out. Now, if it can run through those slots from the sands faster than you pump it out, you're okay. But if it can't, then you run out of water. Your pump quits pumping. That's what happened to us. So we found out, and after I saw the water table go down that low, I thought, why is the water table this low? You know, it hadn't affected me yet, so I wasn't concerned about it. When I go down there and to the farm and turn on the pump, well, I'm turning on the faucet, the water runs. You know, so I take it for granted. You know, I'll say until the day I turned it on the other, when there was no water, when I got the water fixed and finally found out what the problem was and got water back on, then every time I turned it on and it runs, guess what I say? Thank you, Lord. And before, guess what I didn't say? I mean, it was just is that the way we are? We don't praise Him and thank Him enough, do we? So, I want to take you to Deuteronomy 28:15, and I want to show you what the king says to start off with, and it doesn't make any difference to which translation. But Deuteronomy 28:15, and I want to show you what the Lord says. But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and laws I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Now, you ain't going to like these curses. I guarantee. Now, what? Did He tell us to, under the new covenant, did He tell us to praise Him? Do you think He means that? So why didn't I turn the water faucet on and say, thank you, Jesus? Because I got complacent. I got used to it being there. I expected it to be there. He owes it to me. Is that the way we think? Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's owed to me. No, there ain't nothing owed to us, is there? Not a single thing. But we get it in our heart that, well, you know, it's always been there. There's never been a problem. So why should I say thank you, Jesus, when I turn the faucet on and the water runs? Or why should I go out to get in my car and say thank you, Lord, for my nice car? I mean, I worked hard for my car. I paid for it myself. See a little pride in that, huh? You reckon He don't like that either, huh? No, I know He doesn't. But that's the way we are. We fail to realize who gives us everything. And we do not praise Him and worship Him enough. And so because we do not, we suffer these things. Now then, let's go to, I want to go to Deuteronomy 28:22. I want to show you what He says in verse 22. In other words, here's one of the curses. If you do not obey me and do what I say, the Lord will strike you with wasting disease. Now, I don't like that, do you? I don't like to be stricken with a wasting disease because I've been disobedient. But you know, the average Christian, you ask the average Christian, do you think God would strike you with a wasting disease? And what would they say? No. Oh, no, 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 God, He's a loving God. He would never, ever do nothing like that. But they haven't read the same book that we've been reading here. Because this book says, if you do not obey me, like He said in Deuteronomy 28:15, then the Lord will strike you with a wasting disease, the fever, and inflammation with scorching heat and drought. I mean, you ask the average person today, where do you think this drought's coming from? Well, it's Mother Nature. No, how about Father God? Let's try it. Let's go. Let's do it God's way. It's not Mother Nature. It's Father God. Who's in control of the universe? The Lord. He's running the show. And who's doing all this? The Lord will strike you with a wasting disease, with fever, with inflammation, with scorching heat. Have we had a little of that scorching heat lately? I mean, you can just go outside and feel that stuff radiating down on you. And, you know, a lot of people, when they come in, they will grumble about the heat. But when they get in where it's cool, they'll not say, thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. I mean, are we dumb? We dumb. You know, we're just eat up with it, you know. We need to realize instead of grumbling and complaining about the scorching heat, we need to praise Him as soon as we get somewhere where it's cool. So, wow. And drought, and with blight, and with mildew, these devastations will pursue you until you die. I don't know about you, but I think it's a whole lot better. I'd much rather praise Him, hadn't you, Jackie? I just want to praise Him and worship Him and thank Him, because He loves it when you praise Him and worship Him and thank Him, doesn't He? He loves it. But that's all He wants us to do. He wants us to acknowledge that I am God. You know, that I'm the one that's doing these things. And He does not want us to back down. And we're coming to this place right now when people, I mean, are saying, I mean, even from our government is trying to silence us when it comes to our God. They're doing everything they can to silence us. I mean, if you say anything about anybody, especially if you say anything about a homosexual or a pervert, they want to lock you up. And you can say, but Jesus said, oh, they don't want to hear that. You can't speak in the name of Jesus. Well, let me tell you what. They run into one old boy that they ain't never going to be able to shut up until they kill him. You know, and then I'll be just like Paul. If they kill me and stone me and leave me for dead, if God ain't through with me, guess what He'll do? He'll do me just like He did Paul. He'll slap me on the backside and say, get up, son, I ain't through with you yet. Yep, they took you out here and they killed you and drug you out here in the dunk. He throwed you out here, but I ain't finished with you yet. So get up, boy, let's go. And you get up and you're all rock cut and bruised and things, everything. Lord, I got a headache. He said, that's all right, just come on, let's go. I ain't through with you yet. Now, how many of us are going to be that kind of a man? Or how many of us are going to be a wimp and say, oh, God, I can't do this? I don't think God likes wimps. You know that? I think He likes fighters, don't you?
Yes.
Because if we trust Him, He said, just like He told the children of Israel, there is your promised land. I will go with you, but you go in and possess it. Is that what He said, Bill?
Right.
You go in and possess the land. So that means we may have to fight for our land again, you know. In fact, you know, this Ron Paul has just come out with whatever it is, H.R. 1176 or whatever. I can't think exactly what the thing is, but he's saying that we need to completely withdraw from the United Nations, and we need to send the United Nations hiking back to England or somewhere. We need to get rid of them. And I guarantee I am with him 100%. We need to do that. Because they are trying to tell us what to do, and they're trying to shut us down. And I'm telling you, if I ever saw a time when it's a time to pray and worship the Lord and ask Him to do something with this bunch we got up there in Washington, now is the time. See, we can change things when we pray. When we pray in faith, we can change things. Just like Dave said a while ago, and he has seen this happen several times in his life, when we would be flying into a tremendous fogged-in area or something, there's almost zero visibility, and we'd be going to an airport that don't have an approach. And so I'll just say, Father, You said I could ask for anything in John 15:7, So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to clear the fog and everything so I can land on a perfect clear runway in Jesus' name. And Dave's been sitting right there in that right seat, right beside me, several times when all of a sudden, whoosh, it just clears off and there's a runway. You know, right now, what did God say we could ask for?
Amen.
See, do you own that scripture yet or not? Or is there still a little bit of doubt in your heart? Lord, I'm going to try. You're thinking, oh God, I seen Thurman do this, or I heard him do it one time. I'm going to try it and see if it works. You say, oh Father, it's written in John 15:7. I ask you to move the clouds back, and it don't happen. You don't own it yet. You see what I mean? You don't own it yet. You're not there. You ain't spent enough time with the King. It'd be kind of like, this would be a perfect example. That's just like you've been going with a girl for a year. You feel like you know her perfectly. But you ain't put the ring on her finger yet. And you tell her, okay, I know you for a year. Let's go to bed together tonight. And she says, no. You don't own me yet. You ain't put the ring on my finger yet. And then I get married to this girl, put a ring on her finger. I don't even have to ask her. She just goes to bed with me. Isn't that something? That's just her job after that. She just goes. No problem whatsoever. By now, own her, fairies. Is that right?
That's right.
You didn't have to ask that beautiful girl to go to bed with you after you married her, did you?
That's right.
She just went to bed with you. You see, that's the way. Is that the way it is with God? I guarantee, you know, with God, if you don't own those scriptures and you're not walking obedient to His Word, you say, Lord, I'm going to try this. He said, son, I said, I'm a faith God. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. And you ain't even close yet. You're not even in arm's length. I can't even touch you yet. So you're going to have to get in my Word, spend some time with me. See, that's what I did for 10 years. I don't want to bust your bubble. But some people think, well, I ought to be able to do this for 6 months, and then God ought to answer my prayer just like He does Thurman's. Well, if He did, then it wouldn't be fair to me because I didn't get it done in 6 months. It took me a long time. Now, you may be faster than me. That'd be okay. I don't care if you get your answer quicker than I did. All I'm saying, it took me 10 years. But after 10 years, I got there to a degree. I'm not where I want to be yet. You know, but I'm still going. Praise the Lord. I want to go to Job 24:19. Job 24:19, probably in the NLT. Job 24:19. Death consumes sinners just as drought and heat consume snow. What consumes a sinner? Death consumes a sinner. So if you want to die early, what is it that you have to do? Sin. Just get into sin. And it will kill you. And you know, the average Christian today does not believe that at all. And so when we have young people die early, they never dream it's their sin that killed them. You walk holy before God. You obey Him. I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture where God says, if you obey me and do what I say, I guarantee you will have a radiant, healthy, long life. Didn't He say that?
Amen.
And He didn't just say it once or twice, did He, Scott? He said it over and over and over in that book. So, if He said it in that book and I want to live a long, healthy life, what would be the best thing for me to do when it comes to sin? Get rid of it. You know, I mean, don't even walk close to it. Get as far from it as I can. Because death consumes the sinners just as drought and heat consume snow. Then let's go to Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 8. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8 in the NLT. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Now then, are we doing that today in this country?
Yes.
I mean, the government today, used to the government, the Senate, the House of Representatives, all those people, what did they do before they started a session?
Pray.
They prayed. And they wanted everybody there. Yeah. But today, they don't do that. Some of them, very few of them pray. Most of them, they don't want nothing to do with prayer. If they happen to know they're going to open the session with prayer, a big portion of them don't show up till after the prayer is spoken. Y'all want to know why we're experiencing what we're experiencing today? Just look around. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Well, we've turned our heart away from God. You know, for sure, the world has. The world out there, like Dave said a while ago, if you spend 1 hour a week watching secular television, you ain't never going to walk in God's anointing. You ain't never going to own none of these scriptures. Now, the only way you can watch television and get this is if you watch good, solid Christian teaching about God's Word on your TV. Then you might be able to gain some knowledge and wisdom from the television. But if you're watching secular programs, forget it. That junk, you have to turn the junk off. They are like stunned shrubs in the desert. Stunted shrubs in the desert. With no hope for the future, they will live in the barren wilderness on the salty flats where no one lives. Has there anybody been out into the West Texas or into the Big Bend lately? Have you been out there? Is it dry and barren and dusty? Worst. Bill said it's a, and he's from West Texas. You lived out there a lot of your life, didn't you, Bill? And he says it's the worst out there right now he's ever seen it in his life. Well, I will have to say, it's the worst I've ever seen it too. In fact, somebody said something a while ago, just a few days ago, there was 250 houses, at least that was the report I got, in Oklahoma that burned down just out of the middle of nothing, just burst into flames. And was that what it was, 250 homes?
Yeah.
Just think, 250 homes. What if one of them had been mine? That'd have been awful, wouldn't it? Just think, a man could have worked his whole life and had everything. Like, I know you and me both love to work on cars and stuff here, so I know you got you a shop and all your equipment and things you've worked for all your life to pay for. And then all of a sudden you go somewhere and there's one of those things come through and you get them, and everything you had is burned to the ground. Ain't nothing left. Everything you worked your life for is gone. How quick and easy can that happen to any of us? Well, there's about 250 households that it happened to in just a matter of a little short period of time. The fire burst out, but just, I think it was 350 or 400, something like that, in Colorado. Just a few weeks ago, is that right? The fires have never been so bad out there. Why was the fire so bad? Because of the drought. Everything was so dry. You know, you just spark something and something burst into flames. It's so dry. It says, verse 7 and 8, let's see what that says. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord. So, if he's given us the answer, the curses are going to come upon everybody that don't put him first. But if we put him first, what's going to happen to us? We're going to be blessed. Now, that doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. I need to worship and praise God. Is that right?
Amen.
I need to get it in my heart that whenever I turn the water faucet on, every time, if I want cold water, Lord, thank you for that cold water. If I need to take a shower and need a little warm water, Lord, thank you for that hot water. You know, I mean, goodness gracious alive. You know, start praising him, worshiping him, thanking him. When you leave here today, when you walk outside, don't walk outside, oh, God, it's so hot, and then go get in your car and drive off in your air conditioning. If when you go outside, say, Lord, it's hot, but I can handle this, no problem. Lord, because I'm your child. Oh, look at that beautiful car right there, Lord. That's my car. You give me that car. I don't care if it's 1 year old or 20 years old. Lord, that's my car. and it's mine. You give it to me. Get out there and crank it up. If your air conditioner works, say, Lord, I praise you and thank you that my air conditioner works. If it don't work, just like the other day, we were going down to the farm in our Suburban. It's got 138,000 miles on it, and the air conditioner quit. It started getting warm in the car. Now, guess what the first thing my honey bunny did? I would have liked to have said that, but she didn't. She fussed. She's a human being just like the rest of us. I had to shock her into reality. You know what this old mean husband said? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear no fussing. I want to hear praise it, Lord. Thank you that we're still got a car and we're driving and we ain't walking on this hot asphalt. Then she got it. Oh, yes, Lord, we want to praise you. Thank you for our car. See, it's like I had to shock her into reality. Sometimes guys have to do that to me. You know how easy it is to grumble and complain? I mean, it's so easy. I don't know why that it's so easy to grumble and fuss about something when it's so hard to praise him about something. But, I mean, that's the first thing Cheryl did. And she's not, I mean, this girl is a woman of God. Oh, okay, woke her up. Yeah, she was, we're driving along there, and it's so nice, and it was cool, so cool in the car. And she's snoozing on her pillow. Her and Lily both are just having, and all of a sudden it starts getting hot in the car. Well, she wakes up, and naturally, what happened? I said, well, the air compressor on the, just quit working. She said, I told you 2 weeks ago that thing was clicking. You should have fixed it a long time ago. I don't just said, I don't want to hear it. All I want to hear is, Lord, we praise you for this car. We praise you for this air conditioner we've had. And we praise you that we're going to make it home. And Lord, we want to praise you that we didn't have the car, didn't quit, so we ain't walking on a hot asphalt to get where we're going. Oh, when that got struck her. Oh, yes, she said, Lord, we're so thankful we're not walking. Oh, yes, Lord, we are so grateful. You see how you can change your whole attitude when you begin to think what could have happened? What if something had happened in the car? What if the fuel pump had quit working in the gas tank and it pulled off and stopped? And now I either got to leave her sitting on the side of the road in that nice, cool car that don't run. And you, how many of y'all believe that car is going to be cool if it don't run? It's going to be hot, isn't it? I mean, even with the windows down sitting in that thing, it's going to be some kind of blistering hot, isn't it? So, you know, when you think about it like that, you think, well, Lord, thank you. At least the wind's still blowing. You know, it's coming into windows. We got the windows down. So it's, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. I think that pleased him a whole lot more than grumbling and complaining. You know, I could have easily grumbled and complained myself. What, it's cotton picking car? And he could have said, oh, you need to be praising me that I give you this car. You need to be praising me that I've given you the gas to drive this car. Because if I have a car and have gas, where did it come from? It come from the Lord. That's right. It didn't come from me. I can't produce anything, but it's so easy to grumble and complain. And let me tell you, folks, because of our not praising him and worshiping him, that is why we're having and experiencing the problems we're experiencing in this country, because we are afraid to talk about Jesus and to give him glory and praise. And we need to do that. We need to praise him. I don't care where you are. You need to be like me and Eldon was that day when we was building this church. We went over and bought about 4 carts full of stuff. And Eldon's got a cart on one eye getting stuff, and I'm on another one. And every once in a while I say, Eldon, you find something? And of course, I'm speaking through or over an aisle. Yeah, Thurman, I got this. Praise God, I found. I said, well, where are you at? He said, I'm over here witnessing to this man. So when I get through, I'll be on down there. After we spent 2 or 3 or 4 hours in that place, we're getting ready to check out. And as we're getting ready to check out, one of the guys said, where do you two guys go to church? We said, the Living Savior Church. I said, why? He said, I'm a missionary, and I thought I knew how to praise God. But he said, I ain't nowhere close to where you two guys are. But he said, I'm going to get where you two guys are. Well, so what should we be doing? Praising the Lord. Absolutely right. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Elder and I was just taking God at his word. Now, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Wow, I hope you do that. They are like trees, those that have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they go right on producing delicious fruit. Now then, that's a good analogy of a Christian, right? If we put our confidence and our hope and our faith in Him, if we really dug down deep into the Lord, our roots are deep in Him, right? Amen. So when the world around us is experiencing the heat, the drought, the poverty, and the whole mess of stuff that they're undergoing, what should we be doing? Praising the Lord. I mean, producing fruit for the kingdom of God. Telling people about how wonderful Jesus is. That He meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory. I don't have any needs. I got a garden that produces fruit. I got fruit trees that produce fruit. Whatever you raise at your house or in your garden, always give God the glory and the praise for it. You know, it praise Him and thank Him and worship Him. Because who is it that determines whether your fruit or your grain grows or doesn't grow? It's God. That's exactly right. It's the Lord. And so it's not you, it's Him. And it's your service to Him. And so just like He says there, their leaves stay green. They go right on producing delicious fruit. Okay, let's go to Haggai chapter 1 verses 1 through 15. We're going to go through the whole thing of Haggai. It's only two chapters long. We'll probably get through the whole thing. But I want to go to Haggai chapter 1 verse 1. And it says, on August the 29th of the second year of King Darius' reign. Isn't it amazing how God is so precise on dates and everything else? The Lord gave a message through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now, first of all, who did He give this message to? The prophet. And today, God gives messages through His word to His prophets. And who are His prophets today? A lot of them are those men like me that's standing here teaching His word. So sometimes you can call me a prophet because I'm taking His word and telling you what He said, and if I did, and it's exactly what He said then, if it worked then, it'll work today, won't it? Amen. Exactly right. So that's what He uses us for. This is what the Lord, in verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house, the temple. Now then, I guess it's not time to serve God. You know, we don't, so we just let the schools, whenever somebody gets up there and says, you know, you don't have to, we're not going to let you pray over this football game. And so what do? We don't pray. We're completely stupid. You know, I just can't stand it. When I hear something like that, somebody says, we're not going to pray, let me at that booth and give me that microphone. I'll show you how I can pray. I just think the other day that this is awesome. I was in a restaurant, and the lady came up to me and said, Thurman, this boy lost his billfold. Would you pray that he find it? I said, sure. I started to stand. I said, and she said, but do it silently. I said, ma'am, I don't pray silently. If I ask the Lord to restore that man's billfold, everybody in this restaurant is going to know that I prayed that prayer. Amen. So she said, well, then I've got some customers in here you might offend. I said, well, then you pray. You pray because I'm not going to. So she prayed, but loud enough we could all hear her at our table. And lo and behold, the next day we were back in there, and God still honored her prayer. That boy had left his wallet laying on the bumper of the car and drove off and lost it somewhere down the highway. And after she prayed, the next day, Cheryl and I was back in there, and that boy come up to us and said, and he wasn't a believer. He was not even a believer. And he said, you know, after she prayed for my billfold to be found yesterday, he said, I was sitting up here on the side of the road doing something, and a guy walked up and he said, you must have lost this wallet. It's got your picture in it. He said, I never seen the guy handed me my wallet. He said, every dollar was still in it. My driver's license was still in it. Everything's still in it. Not a thing missing out. And I never seen the guy in my life that handed me the billfold. Now, God, you know, if God will answer a prayer like that, I mean, if we really get violent with Him, what do you think He will really do? He wants us to worship and praise Him. He wants to answer our prayer. What do you think the chances are? That boy, I guarantee you, whenever I said, and you left the billfold laying on the bumper. He said, yeah, it was bothering me. You know, I was dragging it on the ground underneath on my back. And so I took it out and laid it on the front bumper. And then he said, I forgot to get it. And I drove off. So who knows where that billfold fell off in the street or whatever. Who knows where how it could have been run over. All kinds of problems. But the chances of finding that he knew was remotely zero. And then after that woman prayed, and the next day that guy walked up to him, handed his billfold, and everything still in it, including his money. You know, and you know, I don't know, I have no idea, but the young boy probably still has not ever made Jesus Lord and Savior. But I will have to say, where we were, and when we were working this concrete, there was 9 of us men. Now, 8 of us were on fire, born again Christian men. How many of you know if I got 8 or 9 men around me pouring concrete, they're going to be Christian men? And all of us except one. One man that came down and brought one 16-year-old boy that didn't know Jesus. Now, he ain't never seen what he's seen in his life as a 16-year-old. He never saw 8 men so on fire for Jesus that could do everything without grumbling and complaining and praise God in everything they said. In fact, the man that brought him after he'd been there 15 minutes, he said, you know, he said, we've only been here 15 minutes. He said, have you ever been anywhere in your life where you heard praise the Lord as many times as we've heard it in the last 15 minutes? He says, never. Now, what did God tell us to do? Praise Him. So then why do we have a problem with that? I mean, all we're doing is obeying Him, right, Lou? We're just praising the King. If the King says, praise me for everything, we just take Him at His word, don't we? And so we praise Him, whether it's good or bad. But guess what happened after the concrete pouring was over? I was talking to this boy all about Jesus. We're sitting there just resting. And I finally, something happened. I had to get up and go somewhere. And I came back in a few minutes, and Eldon's got him over there leading him into prayer to bring him into the kingdom of God. So the boy got saved. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about, right? Yeah, you give us 8 men, a boy that don't know Jesus, and give us 1 or 2 days to work with him, I guarantee he's going to see things, hear men pray for each other, and things are going to see miracles like he has never seen in his life, because our God shows up. And he saw things he had never seen with other men. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house, the temple. You have to be careful what people say. You know that? You need to know what God has to say. Let's see what verse 3 and 4 says. So the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? Ooh. So I ain't got time to build his house. I ain't got time to work on his. I think about when I started building this church. I had men. They came here from several places. And I think about the one man, Jerry. Jerry brought his travel trailer, and he came from Iowa. Pulled that big travel trailer all the way from Iowa and parked it out there. And he stayed here about 2 or 3 months, and he worked every day on this church. Even when I was out of town preaching, he still worked on this church. And he did it for no pay. He just did it because he loved God. Now, how many men do you know like that? Not a whole lot. But I got tickled at Kathy one day. One day I was at her, and she knew I'm a man of faith. So one day, she's here about 9 o'clock, and that's when she usually comes to work, about 9 o'clock. Well, I'd been out here working for a long time, and she said, Pastor, you're all by yourself today. Where's your help? I said, I don't need any help right now. She said, well, are you going to need help today? I said, oh, yeah, I'll need 2 men about 10 o'clock. Well, she said, who's coming? I said, I have no idea. But I know God's going to send them. Because I've asked Him to. So she thinks, wow. So she goes back in, and about 9:55, she comes out. She said, Pastor, it's 9:55. Where's your men? I said, honey, I told you I didn't need them till 10. I still got 5 minutes. And she looked up, and she said, well, there's a car coming down the road. Reckon that's one of them? I said, probably is. One of them get in, he pulls up just about 1 minute till 10. He pulls up out there and yells at, "Pastor, I didn't have nothing to do today. Can you use some help today?" I said, "You're perfect." I said, "Yes." And she said, "Pastor, there's another car turned in up there right now." He come in, got it, said, "Pastor, you need some help?" I said, "Yes." She looked at her watch. She said, 10 o'clock, two men. She said, "I tell you, you really walk by faith, don't you?" I said, "Well, when you asked the king, did he say we could ask for anything?" So what is it we don't understand about praising him and worship him and then ask for anything? Is that the way you get it done? Betty, you look like a good case here. If you really wanted something nice, if you were really sweet to Bill, what would be the chances of you getting it? And if you had been mean to him? In other words, if you really wanted him to do something nice, you always be sweet to him, right? And if you are, then you come and ask him for something, what'll he do for you?
Anything.
That's exactly right. Now see, there's no difference between you and him and you and God. If you've made God happy, is that right, Ferris? That's the way it works. When you ask God for something, if you have obeyed him and made him happy and pleased him, there is nothing he won't do for you. I mean, he will answer your prayer every time. But he's asked these people, "Why are you living in all these luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins?" Well, what's everybody saying? Oh, the Lord, he don't want us to have to rebuild his. That's too much work. We don't want to rebuild his house. We want to build our houses. Well, let's see what he says in verse 6 and 5 and 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. "Consider how things are going for you." You know, some of us need to look at that, don't we? Consider how things are going. "You have planted much, but harvested little. You have food to eat, but not enough to fill you up. You have wine to drink, but not enough to satisfy your thirst. You have clothing to wear, but not enough to keep you warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes." I mean, when you stop and look at that scripture right there, do you know anybody or has this ever happened to you like this? You see? If these things fit you, then there's something wrong between you and God because your needs are not met. In other words, I have people on a regular basis, I guess they hear me teaching and preaching and saying how prosperous and successful we are as the Living Savior Ministries. We have no needs for anything. God meets every need we have. It doesn't matter what we need, he provides it. I mean, I'm not saying we got millions of dollars in the bank or nothing like that, but I'm just saying when we needed something like this church, when we started working on this church, I said, "Lord, you're going to have to send me the money to build this church. I will not go in debt to build a building." And as we built, money came in. I remember one family, she said that family sent us, we said, "We understand that you're building a building. Our daughter, which goes to your church sometimes when she can, she lives a long ways from us, but said she came and got healed of an incurable disease a few years ago, and we are so grateful for what God did for our daughter. We know this won't help much on the church, but it'll help a little. Here is a check for $5,000. Well, let me tell you, I can make $5,000 go quite a ways, you know. In fact, but I just stand in awe at the number of checks that came in. People would hear and say, "Well, we want to do something wonderful and send you another $5,000. And then we had one man from up in the Northeast. He said, "I want to do something wonderful." He said, "You have changed my life." He sent us some stock. And when I took it down to sell it, the stock was worth $52,000. Now, $52,000 will go a long ways on building a building like this. You know that? So we had all the money we needed, and so people hear me talk like that. So they're broke, living on $100 a month, you know, getting their Social Security, can't make it from payday to payday, and they call and want me to send them money. Well, I may do that once or twice. But if next year you're still calling me and sending me and asking me to send you another $100 or $200 or $300, if you're doing this over and over and over, I'm finally going to say, no, get in there and serve God and do what he says, because if you will, I guarantee he'll provide for you. You won't be broke. How many of you believe that? If you get it, did God plan for somebody else to give you all the money you have, or did he plan for you to get out there and make it? He planned for you to get out there with that body he gave you and work and make that money, didn't he, Lou? And if you're willing to do that, he will meet your needs too, won't he? He sure does. He does it for everybody. But there's so many people today They want somebody else to give them everything. There's so many young people out there that want mom and dad to give them everything. They don't want to get out and work for it. They want to be given to it. Well, that's not the way the plan works. And if you keep giving, you're dumb. You know, even if it's your own children. Kick them out of the nest. Make them get out there and go to work. But dad, if you don't help me, I'm going to go hungry. I said, well, go hungry. You know, you'll get over it. You know, you'll learn to eat less. You know, I guarantee. You know what Paul say? If they don't eat, if they don't work, they don't eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. So if that's what Paul said, I think that's come from God, don't you? I guarantee. So, verse 7 and 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are going for you. Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Consider how things are going for you. You know, that's a good thing for every person in church today to think about. How is life going for me? Am I doing okay? Or do I have my needs met? Do I have enough to eat? Do I have clothes to dress? You know, am I all my needs met? Do I have a car? Is it paid for? Or at least am I in the process of paying for it? Am I meeting the payments every month? Or do I have a house and I'm able to meet the payments? Or am I having to depend upon somebody else? If I'm having to depend upon somebody else over and over and over, month after month after month after month, and after year, even year after year, then I'm telling you, you are not where God wants you to be. If you've got to keep depending on mom and dad or aunts or uncles or cousins or whatever over and over and over, year after year, you are not where God wants you to be. You are still under a curse because He promised to bless you if you obey Him. Did He not? Then you should have an abundance. Now go up into the hills and bring down timbers and rebuild my house. Verse 9 and 10. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Ah, that doesn't sound like a very sweet, loving, kind God, does it? In other words, He's not exactly like we think He is in some cases, is He? Because I wasn't happy with you, you brought your harvest home and I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord Almighty, while you are all busy building your own fine houses. That is why the heavens have withheld the dew and the earth has withheld its crops. So you think maybe there may be something that we as a nation today are not doing exactly according to His will, because do you know that the food crisis is becoming a real problem? This drought, of course, I tell you what, now I don't mind telling you. I turn the water on every day and get water here, wash my face, take a shower, and do all the things I do, and very rarely do I ever say, thank you, Lord, for that water. But since I went down to the farm this last week and let the water hose run all night, or all day, and then when I went to take a shower, there was no water. When I did get that fixed by the next morning, it wasn't hard at all to say, thank you, Lord, for the water. Now then, and He says, you do without it for a little while, and it will make you appreciate it, right? And that's exactly what God does. You know, now then, here's the thing. Here it appears to be, from the Scripture, the way God works. You praise Him and worship Him, He blesses your socks off. As long as you continue to praise and worship Him and thank Him for what? Everything. Oh, Jackie, you've read that verse, haven't you? Thank me for all things. You think He really meant that? So if you thank Him for your car, you thank Him for your health, you thank Him for your job, everything you got, you praise Him and thank Him, you continue to be blessed, don't you? Yeah, that's the way He works. But if we don't, if we start taking it for granted, well, God, you owed that to me. And there's so many people in the church, that's the way they're taking it. You owe me. No, He don't owe me nothing. That's just like I used to get so tickled when I was working in a workforce. One of the guys would say something, and I'd say, you know, that Coke there that you're drinking, those cans of Coke belong to the airline. And so you're stealing that. I said, the cafeteria, the company provides a machine upstairs with all kinds of soft drinks in them. If you want one, all you got to do is go up there and get it. It's free. They don't charge you for it. But I said, when you take it there, that's stealing. They said, oh, that's not stealing, Thurman. The company owes it to me. I said, no, the company promised to pay you X number of dollars an hour. Do they give you a paycheck every week? He said, yes. I said, well, they don't owe you nothing. Every week they pay you, they paid you up. They don't owe you a dime, do they? Not a dime. One boy one day was fussing because he only got a week's vacation working for Braniff. Our people got 2 weeks vacation after the first year. I mean, we had a very good company. I mean, to give somebody 2 weeks paid vacation after 1 year ain't bad. Braniff didn't even do that. They gave their people 1 week. And so when he found that out, he was working for Braniff, and he found out we got 2 weeks vacation, he was fussing. I just sitting there listening to him fuss, and I said, son, didn't they tell you what the benefit package was when you come to work for them? He said, well, yes. I said, well, then what are you complaining about? He said, well, if y'all get 2 weeks, I think we ought to get 2 weeks. I said, you need to be thanking God for the week you got. I said, if you keep grumbling and complaining, it may come along and they may fire you and you may not have no vacation. Now, which way you want it? Isn't that amazing how that people fail to praise God for what they have? You know, I just amazed me. But we're all just like that. Then he said, that is why the heavens have withheld the dew and the earth has withheld its crops, because we don't do what God tells us. Verse 11 and 12. I have called for a drought. Oh, there's that word again. I hate that, don't you? Who called for that, Charlie?
Lord.
The Lord called for a drought. How would you do? What do you think? All this drought that's all over this whole country, that's actually all over the world right now. I mean, all over the world, there's a tremendous shortage of rainfall. Who's in charge of the rain? The Lord is. It's obvious that the world, it's obvious even the church don't believe this, because when you tell them, well, maybe we need to pray. And in fact, do you know, I was so amazed that last year, you remember when all of West Texas out here was burning right here close to Graham and all that, and the governor called for a time of prayer. That Sunday, we all prayed. This church prayed along with many other churches because the governor requested that we pray for rain. And we prayed, and that afternoon we got like an inch and a half or 2 inches of rain right here, and it put out a lot of the fires out there, and we got a beautiful rain right here. And it did it that afternoon. I got tickled one day, a preacher, we hadn't had any rain here in a long time, and it had been several months, and all the farmers here in Justin, so at the Baptist church, I stood up in front of the church Sunday night, and I said, you know, before we go home tonight, I said, all of us that have land here, we need rain. We hadn't had any rain in a while, and nobody has asked to pray for rain, so why don't we just pray for rain? And so the pastor didn't much want to do it. I said, I want to pray. So I said, first, anybody that wants to stay with you, any of you farmers want to stay, let's stay and pray and ask God for rain. He finally said, okay, we'll just do it, but the whole congregation will do it. I said, oh, I thought this is the way it should be anyway. Don't y'all think that the whole congregation should be a part of this? So we prayed, several different people prayed, five or six different ones, prayed and asked God to bless us with rain. And we repented of our sins and all kinds of things. And about, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks later, somebody said something about rain. He said, well, you know, it don't do no good to pray. He said, you know, Thurman, just a few weeks ago, he wanted us all to pray. And he said, it didn't rain. I said, it didn't rain? I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I never got a drop in my house since then. I said, oh, I said, I got 3 inches out at my house. I said, about 2 days later, I got a 3-inch rain. He said, you did? And a couple of the farmers stood up and said, yeah, I got a nice 2 or 3-inch rain too. He said, you know, it never rained a drop in my house. I thought, that might tell you something. I mean, if you don't believe God's going to do something anyway, he might not rain on your house. You know what? I love it when he clouds up and rains all over my party. I just love that, especially when it's as dry as it is right now. I need rain. Praise the Lord. I have called for a drought on your fields and your hills. A drought to wither the grain, to wither the grain and the grapes and the olives and all of your other crops. a drought to starve both you and your cattle and to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Why is all this happening? Because these people won't do what God told them to do. Do you think God's different then than He is today?
No,
He never changes. The Scripture says in Hebrews 13:8, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So if He gets upset with us for not putting Him first and serving Him, and He called for a drought back in this day and age, who do you think is calling forth this drought that we're having right now? He is. So I tell you what, there's only going to be one thing that's going to solve this problem. Just like the mayor, as I read an article this morning about the mayor of Robert Lee, he said there's all kinds of people been out there at that little town because it's fixing to go under. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. He said there's only one that can bring rain, and that's God. I thought, well, there's one man that understands. You know, that's one man that understands that we're our water can come from. And until we as a nation, or at least as a state of Texas, if I believe with all my heart, if we will start praying, and we're definitely going to do that before we leave today, and we need to pray just like, you. How many of y'all remember when we had the 40-day fast and prayer? Yeah, we had that. We in this church done a 40-day fasting and praying. Now, nobody fasted for 40 days by themselves. Everybody fasted one day at a time, one 24-hour period. But every week, somebody fasted at least one or 2 days. And we did that for 40 consecutive days. And before that, I think the biggest year Cheryl had ever had with those children was, I think she had won 68,000 or whatever it was. But this time it turned out to be 85,000 or something like that. And it's just absolutely mind-boggling the number of children she bought Christmas for by our fasting and praying in this little church. But thousands of, there was 5,000?
It went from 1,000 to 5,300.
Yeah, that's what it was. That was the big thing. That Cheryl, the year before last, bought Christmas for 1,000 children from the money that came in. And after 40 days of fasting and prayer, she bought Christmas for over 5,000 children this last year. Now that's... Now, why did God do that? Because we all fasted and prayed. Why does He do anything He does? Because of prayer and fasting. Is that right? And, of course, Bill was awestruck. He saw it. He said, we have absolutely seen our Lord do a miracle right here. And we did, didn't we, Bill? Now, He is in the miracle-working business, you know. But He does things because we pray and because we fast. And so, just like here. Because we did not do what He says. He said, I, God, have called for a drought on your fields and on your hills, a drought to wither your grain, your grapes, your olives, and all the other crops, a drought to starve both you and your cattle. I don't know about you, but I just don't like that, do you? I don't want to starve. I don't want to do without water. I think it'd be so much easier just to worship and praise the King. You know, Cheryl and I was talking about this the other night. I said, you know, honey, God's in total control of the water. I said, I can think about when Abraham and his son, you know, whenever Sarah says, you know, I don't like Ishmael with my son. Take Hagar and run her off. I don't want her here no more. And he said, but that's my son. And the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, listen to your wife. Do what she says. So when God spoke to him, he said, okay. So he sent her and the boy into the desert with a bottle of water. And after they ran out of water, she was going to watch the boy die. And she said, I can't watch him die, so I'm just going to go over here and leave him. I just can't stand to see the boy die. And she goes over there, and all of a sudden the angel's there. He said, don't worry, Hagar. God is going to use him mightily. You're going to make a great nation out of him too. And he says, there's your water. And all of a sudden, right out of the middle of the desert, gushing little spring come right up out of the desert. What can God do?
Anything.
Can he make water come out of a rock?
Yes.
He can do anything, I guarantee you. All you got to do is learn to pray and obey God, and then He can do anything. Then Zerubbabel and Shealtiel, just as the son of Jehozadak, the high priest and the whole remnant of God's people obeyed the message from the Lord their God. Boy, just think what would happen if we would obey God. It had been delivered by the prophet Haggai, whom the Lord their God had sent, and the people worshiped the Lord in earnest. What does he want us to do? Worship him and praise him and thank him for who he is. That's all he wants. That doesn't seem too difficult, does it? You know, so, and then let's go on to verse 13 and 14. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord. I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the son of Jehoiada, this high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people. They came and began their work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. Verse 15. This was on September the 21st of the second year of King Darius' reign. Isn't that amazing how God has made everything so precise? He remembers the day you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. He remembers the day of everything you've done. Everything. He never forgets anything. He never forgets a date, a time, or nothing. I mean, I can't even fathom what he can do. But I know one thing. He is in control. And Lord, I want to thank you for the air conditioning we have in this building. I want to thank you that it could be cooler in here, but Lord, it's a lot cooler than outside. I want to praise you and thank you for the electricity that's running those air conditioners. Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you for everything. I want to thank you for our health. I want to thank you for everything we have. Lord, I want to praise you right now and worship you and thank you. And Father, we want to remit our sins, whatever they are, Lord, as each individual here, if they've got any kind of unbelief or doubt or any kind of sin in their life, Lord, as they, between you and them, as they remit their sins to you and they repent of their sins, I thank you for your word that says you will forgive us, every one of us, Lord. We want to be totally forgiven and washed in the blood of Jesus. And then, Lord, you said, come and confess our sin and we will be restored. So, Lord, as we're being restored, I want you to do a great and mighty work and hear our prayer of all of us. We're all going to be in agreement that you will stop this drought in Texas and that you will send great and awesome rains way out in West Texas. You will bring water down the Colorado River and fill up that reservoir out there at Little Robert Lee, and you will just do great and wonderful things, not only there, but you will bring the rain all over the whole country in West Texas. Lord, that you would, Lord, let it rain in Texas. We're in Texas, and Lord, I know that this is not selfish, but if, Lord, the people in Oklahoma and Colorado and New Mexico, if they won't rain out there, then let them pray for it. We want people to pray for themselves. Isn't that the way it should be? Amen. We should pray for our own state. And then we ought to, I'd ask you to move on the hearts of some men and women in all those other states that they will stand up and do the same thing we're doing today. And they'll put these messages on television, on radio, for everybody to hear that they need to straighten their act up so rain can come. And Lord, we know from your word that if we will obey you and put you first, that you will forgive our sins, that you will pour down the rains, and that the reservoirs will fill up, just like the Metroplex last year, Lord, when we all prayed and worshiped you and thanked you, and all the different churches did this. We look in our whole Metroplex area, all the lakes that were so low, all of them filled up and run over. Lord, we know that was because of the prayers of your saints that happened. That wasn't just an accident. It happened because the saints were praying and praising you and thanking you. But Lord, forgive us for forgetting to continue to praise you and worship you every day because you filled up the lakes once they got full. It's like we forgot. Lord, forgive us for being so forgetful. Lord, we praise you and thank you for filling those lakes up so that we got water for the Metroplex. Lord, all these millions of people, they need water. But Lord, that little city of Robert Lee, they need water. So, Lord, we ask you to let it rain upstream in the Colorado River out there somewhere in West Texas that will fill that Colorado River up, that will fill that reservoir back up to overflowing over the spillway where it's a 90-foot low, 90-foot low. Fill it up, Lord. Let it run over the top. You can do that. They're saying it could take years for it to fill the reservoir back up. Lord, I know you can fill that thing up in 3 or 4 days. Not a problem. So, Lord, if you just fill it halfway up, a third of the way up, they'll have water. But, Lord, we ask you to move on the people's hearts out there because we know that those people out there, they got to be a problem with them too, just like it was with us. We're not praising you enough. We're not worshiping you enough. But, Lord, you said if 2 or 3 of us on earth stand in a gap for anything, anybody, you will forgive their sins and you'll hear our prayers. And so, Lord, for Texas, we're standing in the gap for the state of Texas. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us all. We ask you to move on the people in our Senate and House and the governor and the offices of the men and women and the senators and everything, Lord, in the state of Texas, that you will put on their heart to pray, to praise you, to worship you and thank you. They'll be vocal about this, that they'll not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we praise you and thank you that we're not ashamed of the gospel. We worship you and love you and praise you and thank you, Lord. And we know you're going to send rain. Because, Lord, you said if 2 or 3 of us on earth agree about anything, and Lord, there's a whole bunch more than 2 or 3 of us in here today. And Lord, we know we've got our sins confessed. We repent and we're going to pray in faith, believing that it's going to start raining real quick out in West Texas. There's going to be clouds come up. There's going to be rain start falling, and that extreme drought is going to go away this week in the name of Jesus. Lord, I praise you and thank you for being our God. I thank you that last year when we prayed that you let it rain, you know, and rain came down. And I praise you and thank you you'll do it again. Only, Lord, this time help us to remember to not forget so quick. That we continue to praise you and worship you for the rain because you're such a mighty God. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory for everything because we know you're in control of everything, but we're your children, and we want to walk in obedience to your word so you will bless us. And you said that if we will do what you said, then you will be in the house with us, and you will bless us. So, Lord, we know you're in the house with us today, and we know that we've been blessed by the living God. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can anybody be in agreement? And the people of God said, amen, praise the Lord.